Hello, Aquarius friends. I'm Annie Botticelli, and welcome to my Aquarius November 2021 Astrology Must Knows Horoscope Forecast. Definitely go to anniehelpsyou.com to connect in with all the free goodies that I make for you each month, my blogs, my courses, my podcast. You can also check out my books and other courses, such as my Becoming a Professional Astrologer Mastery course. If you think I go into tons of details in my free resources, you should see what I do to prepare you to do astrology for however you want to use it. So you can definitely check that out also at loomlife.com, loomelife.com. So what is going on this month? First of all, two admin notes to make the most of this video. This is for you if Aquarius is your sun sign or your moon sign or your rising sign. And if you're someone that goes even deeper into your chart, like if you have your Venus in Aquarius or your Mars or whatever you're watching for, the information in this video or podcast is also for you. Okay, so any Aquarius placement, this is going to be a piece of your astrological truth. The next thing to note is that if you're a late degree Aquarius, so if your birthday is from around February 11th through the rest of the sign, or if your degrees are between 20 and 29 degrees, the later into February and the later in degree, the more this is true, I also recommend you watch my Pisces report, because you late degree friends, people towards the end of the sign, you're cuspy and you have a more complex read, so you need both the Aquarius and Pisces reports to get your bigger picture. Okay, so what's going on in November? November, first of all, is one of my favorite months of the whole year, and we're going to go into the details as to why. The shroud of the retrograde of September and October that had cast us into uncertainty. Whenever we're in a retrograde cycle, we can't really plan too far ahead, and things that were certain start to get shaky or called into question or dissolve altogether. So now that we're getting into November, we're getting out of that time into a time where we have more clarity about the present, we have more clarity about the future, and it's easier to make plans for the month of November, and it's easier to plan in November for the future months. So that is all very exciting. Let's look at my list, and we'll just start from the beginning here, and I've got lots of visuals to show you what we've got going on this month. So the first thing to note is that while the whole month of November is full of roaring forward opportunities, there are especially opportunities between around November 3rd or 4th through the 17th, because this is a rare window that we have that we're completely free of personal planet retrogrades. So Mercury retrograde, we'll just switch over there, just our little overview here. Mercury was retrograde September, October, and then there was a post-shadow period that lasts until about the 3rd. And then once we get to November 18th, the Venus retrograde shadow starts. And Venus retro goes, Venus goes retro towards, you know, the middle end of December, stays retrograde till the end of January. The shadow period for after that goes until March. So we're about to step into a very long Venus retrograde period, and Venus rules love and beauty and money and aesthetics and design and stuff we do to our physical body from a cosmetic standpoint, wardrobe, anything like that. And so there are a lot of things covered, and we're not actually going to go into those things in this video, but I have made a very comprehensive Venus retrograde video. If you just search for Annie Botticelli Venus retrograde, and I highly recommend you do that now, because Venus rules so many things, and there are so many things that are better to not do in the retrograde and to know about the retrograde that you'll want to know as far beforehand as possible, so that you might want to do some of those things that you would have been doing at that time before, or plan them for after. So you can look for Annie Botticelli Venus retrograde, but just know that, big must know, between around November 3rd and the 17th, we're just completely free from all of it. Okay, so something else that is very helpful to see is this guide that I made about the difference between the retrograde and the direct energy. So September and October, we're pretty much in this here. And then once we start getting, you know, towards the end of November into December, a lot of these key points are going to come up again with the Venus retrograde, although there are some differences, but the general retrograde energy is going backwards and inwards, things closer to you. I always talk about the tides. Retrograde energy is referring to the tides, or when the tides are coming in. So things you worked on can bear fruit. things that you, so, you know, September, October, and December, January are all this time where things that you worked on, things you wove your web, and now you're sitting back and letting the food come in. Whereas November is the time to weave your web and build webs in new places and, you know, do all of your launches and your big decisions and your agreements and your moves and, you know, big investing things and anything you have to sign or brand new projects, engagements, weddings, anything like that, especially through around November 17th, you know, are very, very clear. And if you want to push something out or initiate it, November is fantastic for that. So while the whole month holds a lot of promise for these things, especially between the 4th and the 17th. Now, there is, on our next point here, I want to talk about this pile up between November 26th and November 30th of amazing stars. And I put 7 here, but it's actually 9. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this chunk of time that has 9 sweet aspects all piled up on each other, not impeded by negative aspects. But if you want a full write-up of all of the sweet and salty aspects of the month, the dates they are, the aspects they are, what you can expect from them delivered into your inbox 1 month early, definitely go to anniehelpsyou.com and sign up for my free email newsletter. But what we want to know now is that, first of all, big must know, November has more sweet aspects than salty. Not by a landslide, but it is the first time that that's happened since May. We've had anywhere between a little and a lot more salty aspects for June, July, August, September, October, and we have felt that. A lot of road bumps, you know, a lot of jangling jolts. But now here in November, it's more in favor of the sweet aspects, and from the 26th to the 30th, we have 9 sweet star aspects piling up. Now, the 28th through the 30th, 8 of those aspects are, and the 29th and the 30th, 7 of those aspects are. So those energies towards the end of the month and even the beginning of December, this will echo out, are just so wonderful. Now, we talked about, So we talked about how the November 3rd through 17th is the time for all this direct energy. You might notice that with this sweet star pile up, a lot of launches and big decisions and agreements and investments and moves and things like that might start to come into play. And that's okay. If it's flowing then it's flowing then. Just be aware, educate yourself about the Venus retrograde just to understand what you need to know if things start gelling in that period of time. But you don't have to be afraid of it. And there's definitely a lot of chance for the end of the month to carry that. Okay, so now I want to look at this Scorpio Sagittarius cap predominance of personal planets. We'll get the chart out. So we're using the early degree chart, but don't let that throw you off, because everything that I'm going to talk about is true for all Aquarius placements, whether you're early, middle, or late degree. If there is something that's different for someone in a different part of the chart, I will point it out. But otherwise, we're using this chart and everything I'm talking about is true for everyone. All right, so the first thing to know is we do have a continuation of this Scorpio energy, then Mercury will get there, continuing that. So for September, October, and now into November, we still have this partnership energy coming up. Libra and Scorpio are the partnership signs, and when the planets move through those signs, it brings our key relationships front and center. So you're going to have a lot of opportunities coming to heal relationships and to find your perfect partner or to enhance your current relationships. You're also going to find helpers. And this energy of Scorpio also has to do with collaborating, where you're helping someone and they're helping you. So synergy combined. So this also has to do with the combination of money. So anything having to do with taxes, getting a loan, debt, credit cards, buying a house, selling a house. And this is an amazing month. November is awesome for buying and selling. So there's just beautiful energy around everything involving home. And as we get up to the eclipse energy, you'll see that this is really, really, really highlighted, especially for Aquarius right now. So if you need some money, the odds that someone is going to help you are increased. If you need other resources or support, the odds are in favor that you're going to be able to find the support. If you're needing something like even this government aid or sweepstakes or lotto or finding cash on the street, this Scorpio energy is very much in line with that. Now, all of this is highlighting the 9th house and Venus. And then the sun will get into Sagittarius, which rules the 9th house. So you've got a pile up of energies in Sagittarius, plus that December eclipse, the last one in the series of the Gemini Sagittarius eclipse cycles that started around March 2020. We all know what happened in March 2020. The world shut down. I talk about that in a video called, if you search for Annie Botticelli coronavirus, then I talk about how the astrology relates to the everything changing in the world and the virus and all of those things. So you can see more about that. But one of the things that did coincide at that time was the Sagittarius Gemini eclipse cycle. And now we're coming to a close with that. So even though this eclipse is in December, we are still really feeling this now, because 4 to 6 weeks before the actual eclipse, which really started in, you know, the season that started in October and really strongly in November, we're feeling the wind up of this eclipse. So a lot of things are going to get wrapped up that started for you individually and your community and the world at that time. All right, so that can be very exciting. That can also be challenging. If there is something that has been in the process of leaving your life and you have not wanted those things to leave your life, sometimes these eclipses bring in radical changes. And that is a big must know, is that November is a month of massive change. And some of it can be a surprise and some of it can have been pending. And so final conclusions to the stories that started earlier in 2020 and then went through all 2020 and all through 2021 are going to reach its conclusion. So themes that were at play are going to reach their conclusion. And the new trend starts. So October, November, December, you'll start to see the themes that are going to be present through the end of 2023 with the Taurus Scorpio eclipse cycle, which we'll talk more about that. But it's important to note that on November 19th, we have a lunar eclipse at 27 degrees of Taurus. It's the first in the series. We'll look in the chart where that's going to be for everybody. But it is a major must know, because when it's eclipse time, it's eclipse season, we feel like we have our fingers stuck in an electric socket for an extended period of time. The anxiety starts to mount. Sometimes it's positive, like excited change. Like we know that change is coming and it feels good and we're happy about it. And sometimes it's bittersweet. So you'll be saying goodbye to things, you'll be saying hello to things, and you'll be seeing the themes that are going to be present for some years to come, coming up. So pay close attention. It's also good to pay close attention to what was going on, like the themes that were in play for you at the end of the world, really, at the end of 2012 through the end of 2014, because that's the last time the Taurus Scorpio eclipse cycle was happening. And that can give you some insights. Now, it doesn't mean that everything that happened, if something bad happened then, don't worry, it's not necessarily going to happen again. But the themes that were at play, the topics, the areas of your life that were accentuated, the massive change, and the clearing out of karma. One of the wonderful things about eclipse cycles is that they do clear out karma, and they do give us a chance to step onto our destiny in a major way. And so the north node in the chart is our areas of highest expression this lifetime. It's our dharma. And the south node in the chart is our karma. It's the good things that we came in with, the challenging things, the things we still have to learn that we came in with to work with. And at eclipse time, the eclipses are on the ecliptic, which is where the nodal placements are. So there's always a strong sense of destiny, a strong sense of, you know, clearing karma and initiating massive change from old patterns. That can be very, 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 very positive. And there, it usually comes along with, well, we have to let something go to make room. That scientific principle that energy is not created nor destroyed, it simply changes form, is very, very, very evident at the eclipse time. So here at the end of the year, things are changing form, and we're going to see a lot of the stories of changing form with Taurus and Scorpio, okay? Because Taurus and Scorpio is the new eclipse cycle. So money is going to be, and this is on the individual level, the community level, the world level, money changing form, the way we make money changing, redistribution of money within ourselves, within our relationships, within the world. The politics is related to all of this. And anything having to do with our money that's individual versus shared money. And what's closing out with the Gemini and Sagittarius eclipse cycles are the storylines about education and mobility. So this thing with working from home, going to school from home, the commuting, the transportation, the green, the effects of transportation on global warming and the climate crisis and all of these things are part of our individual and global experience, and the eclipses are woven into the storyline here. So, it's all very exciting, and either way, change is coming. So that's a very big must know. All right, let's go back to our list so we can stay on track here. So we talked about this a little bit. We're going to get back into this. I'm going to show you in the chart where that's occurring. We'll talk about exactly where the December eclipse is occurring in your chart in the December report, and I'll show you where this November eclipse is occurring in this report. But first, I want to also talk about, with the Scorpio and Sagittarius and Capricorn transits, what that means for you. So going back here, and we already started this discussion. So this energy of Sagittarius also that we said is coming up through the eclipse, through Venus, through the sun getting there. This has to do with teaching and learning. It has to do with immigration. It's also crowding your 10th house of work and money. So topics about where you're going to be working from, freedom of movement, anything like that, job opportunities. And as these planets are in Scorpio, that makes a challenging angle to the Aquarius placement. So as that starts to phase out, that's going to be better for Aquarius placements. So we've got still some heavy emotion from the Scorpio. We've got key relationships that you might have to be transforming, and you really have to put some work and time into them. And the more you do, the more you'll get to the gold from that. But as those planets move into Sag, those make a nice angle with the Aquarius placements, whereas the Scorpio makes a square that puts pressure, that kind of adds to the intensity. When the planets move into Sag, it's more of an optimistic, a flowing, you know, an ease in general. And also for Aquarius, it makes a better angle for you. So you'll be feeling this more flow, more ease in a lot of different areas of life. And then as the planets get into Capricorn, because Venus is going there and you're going to start feeling that, that's going to bring a groundedness and a focus on business and anything having to do with back to your work sector. And really, work is coming up in a big way. If you're not someone who's in the workforce, this can be coming up as far as your life purpose. What are you supposed to be doing? How are you going to share your gifts? How are you going to interface with the world, whether you need money or not, is really the big topics here. Okay, so let's see what else. All right, let's talk about the eclipse now. So the eclipse is going to be, we can actually just use this chart still. It's going to be at 27 degrees of Taurus. So that's very clearly for the early degree placements in the fourth house. I'll talk about this more. I just want to get everyone situated. Now, early degree Aquarius is January, or the January born Aquarius, or 10 to 9 degrees. So if you're in that early spectrum, the eclipse is clearly happening in your fourth house. And that's from the Placidus standpoint, okay? From the whole house standpoint, all Aquariuses have the energy of the eclipse in the fourth house, okay? So what we talk about for fourth house eclipse is going to be true for everyone from the whole house perspective, with an extra concentration with the January born from the Placidus perspective. Now, once we shift, you see when this, the later you go in degree, so this is the middle degree, so basically the first 10 days of February, or 10 to 19 degrees for your degree, everything shifts to the left. So now that brings the eclipse here on this line between the third and fourth house. And then when we go to the late degree placements, that brings this really into the third house with some slight energy into the fourth. All right, so let's look at more of what that looks like. So basically, all Aquariuses, watch my Eclipses in Taurus video, because that's the sign the eclipse is in. Watch my Eclipses in Sagittarius video, because that is the sign that the December one is in that we're feeling now. You're all going to watch the Eclipses in Cancer video, because that's the fourth house representation. And if you're February born, or 10 to 29 degrees, also watch my Eclipses in Gemini video. And you can just search for Annie Botticelli and, you know, these titles, or you can go to my homepage. I have a whole eclipse playlist. And I'll go into a lot more details in those videos, but I am going to give you a quick overview here. So everyone in the zodiac has the energy of the Taurus eclipse, and this is going to affect our financial self-worth. This is very much a play we can see with people with job changes, really clamoring for change within their work life, and making demands on their employers and in many cases getting them. The finances, this has to do with your finances, the expenses, and major purchases. So if you have to make a major purchase, this is an amazing time to do it. You know, house, car, device, anything like that. Very, very good energy for that. Anything having to do with your income, sustainability, savings, the environment, and building and security, okay? The ninth house energies, or Sagittarius, which is coming from the December eclipse that is very strongly affecting us in November, has to do with the international connections, the immigration, the different countries, the different cultures, the different languages, the teaching, the learning, the writing, the publishing, things like that. Now, specifically for Aquarius, this fourth house, as I was alluding to before with the moves and the buying of homes and the selling of homes and real estate projects, this fourth house, the eclipse is highlighting this area. So homes and housing and moves and sales and purchases and people occupying your house, tenants and roommates and people moving in or out, your relatives, repairs, things like that. If you want to do a major design project, this month until around the 17th is really great for making headway here. Once we start to get into Venus retrograde, you might start to question your design choices. It's not as good for locking in new design projects. So if you want to lock in a new design project, this time in the first half or so of November is much better. If you want to do your cutting all your hair off, if you want to do your, you know, anything cosmetic or anything that's more permanent or buying a new wardrobe, things like that, this month through around the 17th has extra strong energy because Venus retrograde often makes us do, and you have to see my video about this because I go into a lot more detail than we can go into now, but it makes people want to do drastic things to their appearance and to their design projects that they often later go back on and say, what was I thinking? So you've got a time slot here before that energy starts really kicking up to do those things. But if you miss it, you might want to consider putting off your big design individually or on a bigger level until after the Venus retrograde. So before or after Venus retrograde is better for those. But in any case, things with your family and your ancestry and genealogy, if you're looking for a parent and a biological parent or family member, and anything having to do with childhood psychology tends to come up. So again, big endings, big new beginnings, drama, stress, excitement, positive shifts, clearing of karma, all centered around these areas. Now, those of you who are in the February born, you are having a lot of energy towards this third house with the eclipse as well. And so this can have to do with your relatives that aren't your parents or kids. So basically Aquariuses have every relative, you know, coming up because the fourth house brings the parents and kids in, and then this third house brings all of the other relatives basically. And the communication and changing your communication style, anything having to do with improving communication or writing skills or anything like that, presenting. And as we talked about before, making those big purchases of mobility-based decisions. So overall, it's just a very, very, very powerful month with a lot of sweet energy and a sweet spree of energy towards the end there that is just very unprecedented in a lot of ways because it's very uncommon that we have such a high concentration of sweet aspects without a bunch of annoying aspects, you know, nuisance ones blocking them up. And we've got this little dance right in between the retrograde, so it's a pretty magical time. We've got the ending of the eclipse cycle of Gemini and Sag. We've got the new eclipse cycle. And again, you could think back to the end of 2012, the end of 2014, through the end of 2014, see what kind of changes were happening there. You might notice that those types of themes are coming up again. Sometimes we learn the lessons that we're meant to learn in a previous eclipse cycle so that when this eclipse cycle comes, we don't have to have the harder things happen because we learned our lesson from the last time. And so if we didn't learn our lessons, then we have the opportunity to do it again. And so that's, you know, it's very much based with this clearing of the karma and starting of the highest expression path. You know, very often eclipses will change our trajectory where we're going in one direction, the eclipse comes and it's like, whoop, nope, you're going here. So it's kind of like if we're getting off track, then spirit's like, nope, this is your dharma, this is your highest expression, and we're going to push you in this direction. So it is a very, very exciting month and a very open and clear month for trying to do new things in the world while also having energies of some things you've done in the past being able to come through in a wonderful way. Well, as usual, I've given you lots of information to help you make the most of the starry opportunities. If you'd like even more information, you can go to anniehelpsyou.com, which is where you can connect in with my podcast, all of my blog sites, my books, my courses. I've got all kinds of free goodies, so you can check all that out at anniehelpsyou.com. You can check out my school, loomlife.com, L-U-M-E-life.com. That's my school, Luminous Life Multiversity. And if you'd like to be a professional astrologer or just learn astrology because you love it and you want to help yourself and your friends, you can see my course there, Becoming a Professional Astrologer Mastery Course.